This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And who out there knows what it's like to be humiliated like this in your own front yard?
There was another incident where I was getting ready to get into the shower and we started arguing and he actually threw me out of the house and I was naked and it was the middle of the day. And so I had to hide in my car for 4 hours because our neighbor's kids were outside playing.
Pretty raw stuff. In a moment, some vivid testimony to the powerlessness of a football marriage when a player is out of control and the NFL stays on the sidelines. A case that blew up long before the Ray Rice scandal. Also, Senate advice, consent, and worries about the White House policy in Iraq. Alibaba's billions. Actor Simon Pegg says billions are not the key to happiness for him. And I look at when Abraham Lincoln went all in to win the Civil War, and it worked. But we begin with a woman's story, an NFL wife who watched the violent Ray Rice elevator tape and vividly recalled herself in the same situation, being beaten up by her husband, Wally Williams, years ago. He played for the Browns, the Ravens, and the Saints. Dewan had no dramatic videotapes. She could only try to speak up about what the abuse was doing to her and her family. But no one wanted to hear it. Now, in the wake of all the current NFL scandals, she's come forward again. This time, everyone is listening. Dewan Smith-Williams carries scars and wisdom from what she's been through. She says the pain of domestic violence is never over, and healing has been a slow personal process. Dewan is separated from her husband right now, her future unclear. The NFL, she insists, has never done anything to help her. Dewan says now she's trapped with the memories of violence and all the questions from her children.
I think the environment or the culture within the NFL is a culture in which they manage and they look for men that are aggressive on the football field. They are admired for their aggression, for their ability to impose their will on other people. And in that same sense of imposing their will, it's done in the household as well. These men, I know for in particular, my husband was used to getting his way, not used to being told no. And when he hit resistance, anything that would get in his way or would not go according to what he wanted, there was issues. Before he went to training camp, he would say, okay, I'll see you at the end of the season. I'll get with you when the season's over. So, you know, he was a whole different person when he was playing.
What incidents can you recall that were particularly scary and really evoked this sense of, boy, these football players are different than your normal guys?
I can recall probably the first incident that he and I had where we were arguing and, you know, I have a very open and curt mouth and I don't mind speaking my mind. And I spoke up and he charged across the room and he grabbed me by my throat and he held me up against the wall and, you know, he was choking me. At that point, you know, I was pretty much pushed and shoved. I was in my bra and panties at the time. And at that time, you know, I was put in the garage and locked out of the house for several hours. There was another incident where I was getting ready to get into the shower and we started arguing and he actually threw me out of the house and I was naked and it was the middle of the day. And so I had to hide in my car for 4 hours because our neighbor's kids were outside playing. So there were several situations. And then Wally also became enraged at one time. We were fighting about his substance abuse issue that he was having with the league. And he became angry and got a baseball bat and was running through the house, hitting the walls, hitting the chairs, hitting the doors. The door to my garage door actually had a perfect circle of where he took the baseball bat and rammed it into the door, and it was locked. I ran up into my room and called the NFLPA liaison that had been assigned to Wally and his diversion program and told him exactly what was going on in my house and that I was fearful and I was afraid and that I needed someone to help me. And, you know, they assured me that they would take care of it and that they would contact me back to check on me to make sure everything was okay. And that never happened.
So what was your understanding that this NFL liaison character was supposed to do? I mean, did they assure you at the NFL that if you ever have problems, we got this under control, you call us, we'll know what to do, we don't want you feeling scared?
We are here for you.
Really?
We want to make sure that we meet all of your needs. We want to make sure that, you know, Wally complies with the program so that we get him back on the football field. Whatever you need, whatever the kids need, you call us. We'll see to it that it gets done. Lip service is great. They're great listeners. But as far as following through with actions, it was, I got listened to a lot, but there was never any action taken. And it was just very disheartening to the point where I finally came to my senses and realized that, you know, pretty much in the leak, families, wives, children, we were seen but not heard. We were not first. You know, we just weren't the priority at the time. The priority was Sunday's game.
So the NFL may have done everything they could, in your view, on your husband's substance abuse, but they didn't do much at all as far as helping you with the domestic violence question.
Well, absolutely, because their goal at that particular point was to protect the brand. It was to protect the league. It wasn't to protect my husband from himself and his high-risk behaviors. It was all about doing what was best to keep any type of negative impact on the league. That's what they did.
The Ray Rice case, what's your reaction to that? And how do you respond to people who might say, oh, great, so now everybody's coming out of the woodwork to take advantage of this big story, piggybacking on the NFL's profile here to get some attention?
Well, first of all, I'm not here to get attention. I'm here to make a change. And the reason why I'm speaking out is that I feel, for me, this is someone that is experiencing something that is similar to what I have experienced in my personal life, only it's in the public eye. You know, at the time when I tried to make it in the public eye, I was told no one was going to listen to me. No one wants to hear what the F you want to say. No one's going to believe you. I'm the football star. So you get cowered down into not talking, into sharing.
And how do you think Janae Rice has handled this? There seems to be a lot of pressure out there that, you know, she's viewed as someone trapped and that unless she gets a divorce, she isn't really accepting what's going on here. How do you feel about all that?
Janae is doing what any person that has dealt or is dealing with abuse does. She is rounding up, protecting her family, you know, trying to keep the peace within her household to take or divert the attention away from what has happened because they or she has allowed their personal life to roll over into his professional life. And that has hindered his ability to bring income into the home. So she is doing everything that she can to preserve or to protect what is left. We marry these men in the NFL, not because of the money, not because they're professional athletes. We fall in love with a person and we truly want a family. We want to maintain and keep our relationship and keep our household. And when that doesn't happen, it's very difficult to just actually come to the realization and tell yourself and admit that you have failed. Janae will not realize her situation until she's actually removed herself from it. I mean, who lets someone punch them in the face and then marries them a month later?
So if somebody said to you, all right, look, Dawn, you know, we can absolutely assure you that nothing is going to happen in the Rice household again. This is just a one-time incident. It's never going to happen again. What would your reaction to that be?
Based on my experience, I'd laugh just like I just did. It will happen again because, you know, there's going to be another situation that you're not going to agree upon. And the aggression and the rage and the anger is there. If you aren't getting training, it's going to happen again. It will happen again. And based on what I saw in that elevator, the way that he just carelessly handled her body after he knocked her unconscious, it broke my heart. There was no response of any type of urgency to get her help.
What about the management at the NFL? Do you think a clearing house over there is what needs to happen? Is this something that the NFL in its management and the ownership can deal with? Or should this be something that is handled within individual households?
Well, I think it's both. As far as a clearinghouse, you know, 10 years ago, the people that are in charge were not in charge. The same situations were going on. So it is definitely a systems problem. It is not the leadership. They are just continuing on as status quo. Yes, it should also be addressed within the household. If you are providing families with coping mechanisms and educating them with the skills to properly handle stressful situations, because there was no assistance. The people that you did talk to, no one did anything. So after talking to a wall over and over again and the wall doesn't respond, you're not going to talk to the wall anymore. We need to focus on healing at this point. I'm looking to see what is the league going to do to heal this situation, to make it better? These types of situations of abuse and domestic violence, high-risk behaviors have been ongoing. They just have not gotten the media coverage that they're getting today.
Dwan Smith-Williams, you are separated from your husband, Wally?
Yes, we are currently living apart because, again, the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse has been ongoing. It wasn't corrected when he was playing. It still hasn't been corrected. And, you know, it is what it is. You have someone who believes they're a superstar. And what are you going to do to change that? I can only work on myself. I cannot change Wally. I can't do anything for him but change myself. And so that's what I have chosen to do at this point. Our separation will be ongoing until there is a respect for each other that is earned, that is given, that is provided, and that we can present ourselves as friends and as good partners to our children.
And a divorce that's not in the cards at this point?
I've filed for divorce on 2 to 3 other occasions, and, you know, we just don't ever go through with it. And Wally has told me that he has never been the person to file. I have always been the person to file. And he said that he has never gone to get an attorney, nor will he ever do it at this point. So I guess we're in a holding pattern.
All right. Dwan Smith-Williams, thank you so much. Best of luck to you. And we really appreciate you contributing to this conversation here.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you allowing me to come and share.
Dwan Smith-Williams is the wife of former NFL player Wally Williams. They are currently separated and living in different states. We reached out to Williams, the NFL, and the New Orleans Saints, who Williams played for at the time of the abuse, and did not hear back from him or the NFL. The Saints say they have no comment.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.